Thought for today. Why am I here? Or I'm being born. Why am I here? I'm being born. Why am I here? I'm being born. A good question, isn't it? Why are we here? We talk about it oftentimes. We say we're here because we're divine and we're expressing on this dimension as part of our activity of fun and being ourselves and having fun. But why am I here? Why am I here? Why did I come to this particular place in the universe, this particular place in time and space? Why didn't I come 100 years before, 100 years after? You know, why didn't I come at some other time? Why at just this moment and in this particular place? Well, I came because I put a cause in motion. And the cause in motion was that I wanted to have a great experience. I wanted to have an experience where I could enjoy myself and do all sorts of fun and beautiful things and be challenged. I didn't want it too easy, because if it's too easy, it's no fun. You know, you play chess with people and they know how to play chess as well as you do, then it's no fun. If they play less than you do, then you are sort of the teacher and you let them win. If they play better than you are, you're pulling yourself up to put your best foot forward and do your best work. And you really play an outstanding game, and you never realized you could play so good until you had someone who could really challenge you. So, we in our life, choosing to live, we never realize how much fun life is until we're challenged. It's only the challenges that give us an opportunity to stand up for ourselves. Now, Ellen just gave a soliloquy on her experiences with me. And one of the things that she said was that the things I do are very subtle. And that's very true. That's very true. I will say to you, okay, I'm going to give you a test now. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to see if I can press your buttons and just knock you right out of the saddle. I'm going to do my best on it. Now, you watch and see. And then I change the subject. I go on talking about other things and other things and other things. And then I say, you're a cheater, you're a thief, you're a stealer, you're a rotten. You know, I know what you did with your mother. I know what you did with your father. I know how you handled your brother. I know how you did these things. And you say, how does he know these things? I know. And you say, And you feel coward about it. You know, not a coward, but you cower. You turn down and feel fearful about it. So, I guess that's like a coward too. So, I do these things very subtly, but very definitely. I mean, you don't think it's subtle at all when I hit you. And you say, man, you know, what do you do that for? You're touched. You're touched. I say, don't be touched. Don't be touched. And then I say, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Katerina is this, and Katerina is that, and Katerina does things this way, and you all love Katerina, even if you don't know her. You love her, because she's a super, super girl. She's a super woman. She is beyond imagination. And I blast her. And I blast her. And you say, but Herb, she's a nice girl. She's a nice... Oh, why are you defending her? If someone calls you a man, and you're a woman... Are you going to defend yourself? You say, that guy hasn't got any eyes. The woman doesn't know what she's looking at. If someone says, you are a dog, meaning you are a bow wow, and you know, and then you let it bother you. Don't call me a dog. Don't call me a dog. How dare you call me? It's stupid. Obviously, you're not a dog, even if you act like one, you know. But you're not a dog. And the thing, if you accept any of those statements, you are so silly. You're so silly because you know you're being challenged. You know you're being tested. But you see, it's so simple. It's so idiotic. You say, nobody ever called me a dog. Well, I like all my dogs. I wouldn't mind being called my dogs at all. My dogs are wonderful guys, wonderful girls. But my cats, oh my goodness. The cats that I have had have been just lovers. Beautiful. Every one of them. Fabulous. You could call me my dog or my cat, and I'd say, thank you. Now, I don't know what's wrong with you, but somewhere you went wrong in raising your sons. Because your sons put on a good show that they are successful and they're happy, but they're really very unhappy. They really feel that life is not worth living, and they feel that with a mother like you, who can't even keep her act together, they're going to just cut out. They're going to commit suicide. They have no desire to live anymore. Do you feel a little sensitivity about that? Just a little sensitivity? You shouldn't. How are your kids? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, right? Yes? Right. And how are you? Are you a magnificent lady, one of the most beautiful, wonderful, sensitive ladies that ever walked the world? Yes? So, if I say something about you or about your family, stop and think, why am I doing it? I'm taking something precious to you. I'm taking something that is so sacred to you that no one should ever say anything naughty about it, and not especially outside the family. Inside the family, we can talk bad, but not outside the family. And I am doing it because if anybody in the world ever said anything bad about you or your family, you'd be untouched about it. You say, so you say? Doesn't bother me. Can you see? Now, if I don't work with you on this and many other things that you're not aware of, if I don't work with you on these things, you will not appreciate it. You see, why are we born? We're not born because... And why did you come here? You didn't have to come here. You didn't have to be part of this philosophy. But this philosophy makes you ready for that next step into your divinity. It makes you untouched, non-possessed, non-judgmental. And what's the other one? What's the other one?
Non-possessive.
Non-possessive. You are not possessed by your house, your car, your kids, your husband, your wife, your family. You're not possessed by them. They are wonderful. You love them and you enjoy them. But, hey, if they die, poof, bye. Have a good journey. Can you do that? That would be tough, wouldn't it? That'd be real tough. But when you have reached these four levels, you are fantastic. It's not easy to do that. But it is very easy to do it if you stop thinking of the world as something that you own, something you possess. You cannot die on me. Mama, you cannot die on me. Mama, I love you. You got to stick around. Mama, Mama, don't die. Remember the song? You probably don't, but Papa Don't Walk So Fast. Yeah. Papa Don't Walk So Fast. I can't keep up with you. A little 3 or 5 year old kid, the daddy is leaving the family and he's walking away and he wants to get away from the family. He's just quitting the whole thing. And the little kid is saying, Papa, don't walk so fast. And it's a tearjerker type of thing. It's a country song. And it makes you feel very sad. And it makes you say, have I done that to my kids at any time? And that shouldn't be. You should never have the thought in your mind that you would ever abandon your responsibilities, whichever you take on. If you let's go to the beginning right here. Go right to the beginning. Why am I here? I'm being born. You accepted the responsibility to live on this planet Earth. You accepted the responsibility to be a loving person, to be yourself and have fun. You accepted the responsibility to do all the little things you choose to do as you go along. You accepted it. So, don't die. Don't give up. Don't feel sorry for yourself. When you feel sorry for yourself, you're dying. I mean, if anybody who feels sorry for themselves, you say, I can't do a thing for you. My sister, I'm hearing that her husband died, was very unhappy. And she said, I have nothing to live for. Very cogent. A very cogent remark for a person who said she's not stable. Very cogent. And then I said to her, May, are you trying to tell me that your grandson and your son and your daughter aren't worth living for? Are you trying to tell me that just Kip was the only person that you lived for, and he's great, he's wonderful, but are you trying to tell me that your own family is not worth living for? And what about me, your brother? You know, aren't I worth? Oh, I'll punch you in the nose. You know, and you know, I got her. You know, and she forgot her nonsense. You know, nothing to live for. She said, I'll punch you in the nose. I'll get my sister to hold you. And my sister was sitting next to me, and she's 77 or 8 or whatever she is. And she says, yes, I will. Now, go ahead, May. Hit him. That's what they used to do when I was a kid. And they had fun doing it. But you see, she got her dander up. She got her feeling up. She was in charge. And I did that 5 or 6 times during the hour and a half that we talked with her. And at first, everybody said, don't shake her boat. Don't do that. Don't shake her boat. She's okay. Don't shake her boat. Let her come out of her little lethargy. Let her come out of her self-imposed feeling sorry for herself. I don't tolerate that. I don't tolerate from anybody feeling sorry for yourself. Even for myself, I don't tolerate feeling sorry for myself.
Never seen that.
Well, I can play the game too, you know. I can play it very well.
Oh, I know.
All right. So, if you feel sorry, well, you know, when people come counseling with me, and I bring out the Kleenex, and I say, now, don't use the whole box, you know. Just remember, your crying does not sell one donut with me. The only thing that's going to make you have any benefit with me is when you tell me, what do you want to experience? Well, I got to tell you my problem before I can tell you what I want to experience. Well, I go ahead, and I plug my ears. I put my fingers in my ears, and I say, talk. And just nod your head when you're done talking, and then I'll listen to the next phase of what you want to experience. You tell me what your problem is. I treat with you that you have more of it. You got a broken leg? Have 2 of them. You know? You got a heartache? Have more of them. You want 2 heartaches? Then have more of them. You can't have more at the same time because, you know, you got to space them out. But now, what do you want? Well, I want to have a nice relationship. I want to have my body whole and perfect. I want to be wealthy. I want, you know, whatever the things may be. All right now, let's talk about that. Now we have our web boy. He's a good boy. Sometimes he chips a little bit, but he's a good boy mostly. And he's taking the course, but he's not taking the course. And he's doing all of our work, which means he's putting all this stuff on the web. He's types it. It has his boy typing it, and he types it. And his boy is going to be leaving someday for China because he wants to be a missionary over there. So he'll have to do that alone for a while when he goes. But he may not go because he's enjoying our work so much. He's enjoying the things that we're saying, contrary to his traditional philosophy that he has in his fundamental church. But are you ready to find out what it means to be born? Are you ready to accept what you had accepted by being born? Are you ready to take your life and stand with your life and stand firm and not cheat? Remember James Herriot last night as we were watching him? The farmer said to him, rich farmer, of course, it would be a rich farmer. The rich farmer said, Mr. Herriot, he didn't say Dr. Herriot or anything, you know he is a doctor. Mr. Herriot, the insurance company doesn't care. You can say that lightning struck my bull and killed it, and then I'll get money and I can buy a new one. But if you don't do that, I won't get money to buy a new one, and I'll have to be out of pocket. So just say, lightning struck the bull, so the insurance will pay. And Mr. Herriot says, let me autopsy the bull first. So he autopsied the bull, and there was no way that it could die of lightning. It had died of a heart attack and other complications. And he said to the man, no. The man says, I'll put you out of business. No. I will not let you do another thing around this countryside. You'll not be a veterinarian again around this countryside. And your company is not welcome at my farm anymore, you know. And James is new. You know, he was a young man, perhaps 24, 25. He looked a little older there, but I mean, he was really a young man at that time. That was the beginning of his veterinarian service. And he said, no, I can't do that. An idealist. Wonderful. He stood up for the truth. He stood up for the truth when it meant he might lose his job because his boss wouldn't have the opportunity to do business anymore there. He stood up for himself. He didn't think of his boss. He didn't think of the money that he could make by bending over and letting the guy do what he wants to do. But he didn't even think of that. He just said, no, it doesn't enter my mind that I would lie, ever. It doesn't enter my mind that I would tell a falsehood. Never. You see? And he was a young punk. And he went out with some girls and got drunk. And he writes about it. And he says about it. And he says what a fool he made of himself. And his future wife still loved him. You know, still saw the depth in him. But you see, at all times he stood up. At all times. Now, we've only seen a little bit of those films. I've seen them all, but we only see a little bit of them. Now, is he going to always stand up? You bet. Are you always going to stand up for who you are? Are you a woman or a man? Are you a child or an adult? Are you God or are you the devil? Either one is fine. Either one is fine. I knew a young man. He told me that he was the devil. And I said, Freddie, fantastic. Tell me all. I never met the devil. Tell me all about him. What's the devil like? And he described the devil to the letter as you would describe God. And the next day he told me that he was God. As you can understand, he was a little bit deranged. But the next day he said he was God. And his definition was beautiful. It was just like the devil. And a few additional things. But you see, the devil and God are one. There is no separation. We cannot say that the devil is not God. Because God created everything and is everything. We are everything. So when we begin to realize, we listen to the divine within us. We can listen to the devil within us too. One thing will lead us to a happy, wonderful life. And the other will lead us to perhaps fulfillment in certain ways. But we will never like ourselves. I guarantee you, with all my heart and soul, people who work in the field, as the mafia do, they do not like themselves. They're living in fear and trepidation of their life at all times. People who live in gambling casinos are living in fear at all times. People who use people's, what would you say, weaknesses, who use people's weaknesses and stretch their weaknesses, they don't like themselves. People who make gambling available to people so easily and so freely, they don't like themselves. Our governmental officials who permit gambling, because the Indians are allowed it, because the federal government can't stop them from doing whatever they want to do on their reservation. So then the city feels they're going to have gambling too, just because the Indians are doing it, and they want to be able to cut in on the cash. They want to cut in! They don't realize what they're doing to their constituents or what they're doing to their nation in teaching them to gamble and to take a chance. Because there are no chances. The casinos know exactly how much they're going to make. And we have a little casino over here that just started out. And it makes $1 million a day. And there's hardly anybody in there. $1 million a day. And the other casino that's down here, the big one, at whatever it is, they're making $10, $12, $15 million a day. A day! Man, you wouldn't think there's that much money crossing over there. But they fool people into doing it. They fool people into doing it. And then they say, sex on the internet. Be careful of sex on the internet. Because if you ever participate with those people, you can be sure there's going to be disease that goes right with it. AIDS is very rampant. This is what the recent report is in the front page of the newspapers. People who find a sexual partner on the internet have had more AIDS than, and you know, the largest number of AIDS people in the world are between the ages of 10 and 18. 10 and 18? Isn't that horrendous? Now, what does that mean? That means that these kids are being involved in activities that are not beneficial to them. These kids are not having a chance to grow up in a normal way. Because they have parents who are promiscuous, because they have people in their life who are promiscuous, because they have uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters who are involved in these things. And I mean, how tragic. And you know what happens when you get AIDS? You live a very short life, and not a very pleasant one at the end. Because I think Dorian Gray must have had AIDS. Because you know the story of Dorian Gray? Dorian Gray was a very, very handsome, really luscious-looking person, and everybody loved him to pieces. And he had his portrait painted. And he had it hanging over the mantel in his fireplace, over the fireplace. And he looked at the painting one day he hadn't looked at, and it was becoming gruesome. It was having all sorts of ugliness about it. And what is this? So he took the painting and put it in the closet. And the time went on, and he kept living his very unconventional life and very not very nice life. And he went into the closet one day for something, and he saw that painting, and it was the most gruesome thing you could ever imagine. You cannot imagine it. And he took a knife, and he slashed the painting, and he died. Because that was him. You see, oftentimes, we think we can hide things. We think we can hide our drinking habits. We think we can hide our dope habits. We think we can hide all those things. But you can't. A young man came to take our course the other day, he and his wife, and they both been on drugs quite a bit. And he is skinny as a rail. Strong, he's a carpenter, but skinny as a rail. No bulk to him at all. She is a little chunky, but she worked on different drug experiences. And he can't shut up when she says she loves him. And she can't accept his love the way he is able to give it. And they got married and divorced and married and divorced. And they're, you see, they don't realize that part of their brain is fried. Part of their brain is no longer working harmoniously. You don't know it. You don't know it. And the world thinks you're perfectly normal. But part of your brain, which is the ability to receive love, to receive joy and harmony from the world, and to give it, is not functioning right. Drugs will do things to you that you cannot perceive. They say steroids give you great muscles, but steroids are one of the most destructive drugs that you could have, even more than any of the others, because they make you think you feel very good. They make you and they let you be alert. You're not out of it when you're on steroids. You're in it, and you think, oh boy, this is great, this is great. And it's destroying your lymphatic system. It's destroying your blood system. And it destroys many other things. You might live a long life, but very ill, because you're not going to have a harmoniously working body. People who have these non-harmonious working bodies, you can be sure that somewhere along the line, they missed the boat. Somewhere along the line, they didn't realize that what their body is, the temple of the living God. They didn't realize that they were going to kill themselves in a very unhappy, unkind, undesirable way. So, go for it. Go for living according to your original purity and integrity, and be transfigured. And if you have anything in your past, never tell me or anybody else about it again. Ever. Don't repeat it. Don't repeat it. Don't be proud of it. Don't be proud that you were on drugs. Don't be proud that you smoked cigarettes and pipe. Don't be proud that you were a sex addict. Don't be proud of any of your negativities. Let it be. And stand up and be a new you right now on who you are. Now, who are you? I'm whole and perfect. I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. I'm whole and perfect. Claim it, name it, live it, but shut up about anything in the past if that past is not a compliment to you. And if you think drugs, promiscuousness, or any of those things is a compliment to you, I'm afraid you're in the wrong ballpark. Because you're going to reap the harvest. And I'm not a ranting and raving Pentecostal minister, evangelical minister. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. Now, I know all about your lives. I know all about what you've ever done, whatever nonsense you've ever entertained. But I don't judge. And if you will draw the curtain, I will draw the curtain. And there will be no past. There will only be the present. And the present is beautiful because you are beautiful. Now, is that what you want? You want the present? You want to let the past go? Can you keep your mouth closed? Can you tell me what glorious things you're working on and doing, then I'm with you 100%. And if you say to Jesus, who is the Christ, who can only see whatever your reality is, whatever you name, and you say, Jesus, heal me. And he says, well, what's wrong with you? I'm the Christ. I can see nothing wrong with you. Well, I got a broken leg. Oh, you want another broken leg? He's not being facetious. He's only saying, I see nothing wrong with a broken leg if you see nothing wrong with it. Now, if you want to see a whole leg, a perfect leg, great. Sounds cool to me. If you want to see your limbs, you're paraplegic, quadriplegic. If you want to see your limbs, they're there. The energy body of your limbs are there, even though you can't see them. And a flash like that, they can be back. But you know what's going to happen? If you have a spiritual healing, if you were a quadriplegic, all four limbs missing, and you have a healing, a spiritual healing, you will not remember you were quadriplegic. None of your family will ever remember it. None of your world, none of the doctors, the experience in which you became quadriplegic would cease to be, would cease to have been, and you will be perfect forevermore. Nice. But you see, the healings are going on all about us. We don't see them because once they're done, if they're a spiritual healing, we have no idea that they ever were imperfect in any sense of the word. Make sense? Okay. I'm pretty tough on you. I love you. And I see each one of you whole and perfect and fantastic.